when I was here under Coach Osborne, there was unity of purpose and unity of belief and unity of understanding and unity of support for this program, what it stood for, and what it was accomplishing. This program needs that again. This state needs that again. And when I walked into that weight room and saw all those players there, really made me excited about the fact that we can get this entire state behind this football program, get this entire state pulling for these players, get this entire state excited about what's going on, and we're going to put a product on the field that this entire state can be proud of. There was a formula that worked here for a long time, and times have changed a little, but some of those same things are what is going to make this work again. And that's a lot of good people that care about this place, working really hard. It's toughness, it's dedication, it's work ethic. That's what Nebraska is, that's what the people of Nebraska are, and that's what this place is going to stand for while I'm here.
That's the new head coach of Nebraska Cornhusker football team, Scott Frost, and here to talk about that hire and also Nebraska's big basketball game coming up this weekend against KU, and Nebraska volleyball team making the Final Four for the third straight year is the voice of the Cornhuskers, Greg Sharp. Greg, how are you this morning?
Wade, I'm great. Boy, you got me fired up listening to Scott Frost repeat those words from his press conference. It was a great day and a much-needed day for Nebraska football.
Take us through what that day was like, because certainly Husker fans, it seems to me over the last, probably ever since Frank Solich was fired, that Nebraska was kind of fractured in regards to their fan base, and it seems like this has been the great unifier.
Well, I think it is. I think there was some unification when Bo Pelini got hired in 2007. I think people were pretty fired up because Bo was the overwhelming guy that they wanted to come in and take over the program. And then, you know, Bo kind of, the welcome kind of wore out on him as his tenure went on. But it was such a stark contrast with the press conference with Scott a couple of weeks ago and the one 3 years ago with Mike Riley, where everybody was kind of in shock about Mike Riley is our football coach, and who is this guy, and why is he worthy of leading this proud program? And there was none of that last Sunday when Scott was announced, because he was the choice. He's a guy who grew up in the state, understands it, led the program to a national championship, has succeeded at a very high level on his own in the coaching world. And so I think this is one that everybody's like, yeah, we got this one right, and kudos to Nebraska's administration. Because it wasn't just a slam dunk to get Scott, because there were a lot of programs that wanted him. Florida made a hard push on him. Tennessee let it be known that they were interested in him. So it was a really good get for Nebraska to go get a coach that some other programs really sought to pull into their universities as well. So it was a great day.
How close was Scott Frost to not coming to Nebraska? Because I read the story that maybe he was getting some cold feet there. It's hard to leave a program that's undefeated. And on that Friday night, he had talked to Tom Osborne. How close was he to perhaps changing his mind and staying at Central Florida?
Well, the entire week, because it was we knew we had to wait a week to get the play to Scott because of UCF making the American Conference Championship game. And people kept asking me, do we have him? And my response was, well, yes, we've got him as long as he doesn't get the heartstrings tugging with his team in the locker room with UCF. And that was the key, because I think he had resurrected that program, and those kids bought into what he was doing, and they accomplished an incredible story, the only undefeated team in the country this year. So there was a great bond, and I think it was a little hard for him. But I think deep down he knew this was the right move for him. I think he knew that this was the right time to come back to Nebraska. One of the great comments that he made in the press conference was that 3 years ago, when Nebraska's job was open, he was not approached, nor did he want to be approached for the job, because he didn't feel like the circumstances were right for him to come back to the program, that Nebraska didn't really have their ducks in a row. I don't think he was comfortable with the administration at that time. But now all that's changed, and now was the right time for him to come back and lead this proud program.
Well, it was quite the introductory press conference, and it kind of gave me goosebumps seeing the former alums and players that were there. It was just full support for the hire of Scott Frost. Everybody said the right thing. And I thought another thing that was interesting that wasn't said, and that was also written about, I'm sure you read the article as well, is that during that whole press conference, the word championship was never muttered. And I you know, a lot of times at these press conferences, a coach will get up there and say, we're going to win division titles, we're going to win championships, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And that wasn't mentioned, was it?
Well, he talked about getting Nebraska back to competing at a very high level. Mm-hmm. I think it was insinuated quite a bit.
Right.
So this is not just, I mean, that was one of the complaints with Mike Riley, is championships weren't talked about. It was all about creating a great student experience and all this type of thing. And people are like, oh, we want to win. So Scott, I think, was pretty adamant that we're going to win. Now, right. We're going to make some mistakes, and we're going to lose some games along the way. We're not going to be perfect, but we're going to get this thing going where we can win again. And, you know, I think, you know, Nebraska's got to get itself to where they can compete for the West Division title. I mean, that has dropped off significantly in the last 3 years, where they weren't close to Wisconsin and some of those programs. They got to get back to doing that. And once you do that, then you get yourself in that championship game, and then anything can happen in that. But I think Scott certainly is focused on getting this program, when he says back to where it belongs, he's talking about being back in the top 10, back in the national spotlight, back where Nebraska is relevant again when you're flipping on College Game Day on a Saturday morning. That's one of the games they're talking about is your game. I mean, all that has kind of drifted away the last couple of years, and I think he definitely wants Nebraska to be back in all those discussions.
Greg Sharp, the voice of the Cornhuskers, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. So your partner on the radio broadcast, Matt Davidson, I understand he played a pretty big role in helping convince Scott to come back home. How big a role did he play?
Huge. I mean, he and Scott are best buddies. He was the best man in Scott's wedding a couple of years ago, and they talked constantly. There were a couple times this year during we were on the air doing a game, and Matt would hold up his phone, and it was Scott trying to get a hold of him to call him to talk about what the Huskers were doing and that type of thing. And Matt, I think, also was the bridge between Scott and the new administration at Nebraska's. You know, Nebraska's a new athletic director, and Bill Moose, who got hired in October. They have a new chancellor in Ronnie Green, who's only been on the job a year and a half. They have a new president, Hank Bounce, who's been here 3 years. Scott doesn't know any of those people, but Matt did, and Matt was able to kind of guide Bill Moose and say, all right, here's what he's looking for, here's what he wants assurances on. And then Matt was very instrumental in setting up a meeting in Philadelphia a couple of weeks before the end of the season. UCF was in Philadelphia to play Temple. Nebraska was in Pennsylvania to play Penn State. And so Matt said, hey, let's get Bill Moose in the same room with Scott Frost so they can look at each other. They can kind of shake hands. They can look at each other's eyes and say, is this somebody I can work for? Or is this somebody I want to work for me? And I think that was huge in making sure this thing came together.
A unique situation is that Coach Frost will still coach Central Florida in the bowl game. Explain the difficulties and the dynamics with that arrangement for Nebraska and Central Florida, with Scott Frost really, in essence, being the head coach of two programs.
Yeah, you know, it's been done before. Urban Meyer did the same thing when he was at Utah. He had taken the Florida job. Utah had made a New Year's Day bowl game after winning the Pac-12 conference. And, you know, same kind of thing here. This is a rarefied air for UCF's program, being undefeated, getting a chance to play in a New Year's Six bowl game. And I think the team certainly at UCF wants Scott and that staff to coach it again. And if you're Nebraska, it's great publicity, because every time they're going to show Scott Frost on the sideline mm-hmm. for that day, it's going to be, oh, there's the next Nebraska head coach. Well, that's Nebraska's head coach. The Nebraska's program is going to get a lot of play during that game as well. Here's what happens with the college football calendar. Coming up on December the 20th, there's a 72-hour period for the first time ever. There's a fall signing period where, you know, student-athletes can sign letters of intent within a school. So Scott will work until then and get that thing kind of through. And then there's a dead period where you can't contact recruits. Students are gone for the winter break, so campus is really quiet. There's not a whole lot to do around the Nebraska program. That's when he and the staff will head back to Orlando and start bowl prep and get ready for that January 1 game between UCF and Auburn in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. So the timing works out pretty well. I think from Nebraska's standpoint, it's a great commercial for them. I think maybe the only hesitancy would UCF want that to happen? Mm-hmm. Would they want a guy on the sideline that's really not their head coach anymore? As soon as that gun sounds, he's gone. But I think they did it because they respect Scott. Scott did a great job of their program, got them undefeated, and made their job much more attractive. And so I think it speaks well of UCF to allow Scott and that staff to go back there and coach one more game.
Speaking of the coaching staff, who is on his staff at Nebraska? Who's he added?
he has brought his entire staff from Central Florida, and that includes a couple of Huskers. Greg Austin, the offensive line coach, played for Nebraska for Frank Solich and Bill Callahan. Ryan Held was a walk-on in the mid-90s when Scott was here. They were teammates together. Ryan will be coming with him. And then the strength coach is also a Nebraska product. So there's some Nebraska ties, but then there's some other people that Scott has just made connections with along his career. A couple of guys that he coached with at Northern Iowa when he was the defensive coordinator. Several coaches that he hooked up with when he was at Oregon. So that whole group went to Orlando a couple years ago and took that thing from 0-12 to 12-0 in 2 years. That's the guys he wants to go to battle with. That's the ones he feels comfortable with. And so he's bringing that group with him to Lincoln. And I think for Nebraska fans, knowing that there are two or three of them that certainly know Nebraska, are Nebraskans, is a comforting thing.
Recruiting is critical to turning around a program, and he certainly did that at Central Florida. And he knows Florida well, as we know, and there's a ton of great athletes in the state of Florida. What is expected of Scott Frost in regards to the game plan with recruiting, and how is he? What kind of start is he off to so far?
And here's the great thing, Wade, but with Scott, is that, one, yes, he's been in Florida the last couple of years, and he has a couple of coaches who are coming with him who have really deep roots in that state. So that's going to help. That's an area that, you know, Nebraska traditionally has done well down there. Tommy Frazier came from the state of Florida. A lot of great Huskers came from down there when Nebraska was winning titles back in the 90s. But Scott also has a really big presence on the West Coast because he spent all that time at Oregon. True. So he's got connections out there as well. And then obviously with him and certainly Ryan Held is from the Kansas City area, they know a lot of this part of the country as well. So they are set up so well because of Scott's background and the fact that Scott has coached on both coasts to really be a nationwide recruiting machine. And you look through the history of Nebraska football, going back to Bob Devaney in the 60s, Nebraska basically has recruited coast to coast, knowing that the small population base in Nebraska is not going to be quite enough for you to fill your roster. You're going to have to go far and wide to get recruits. And I think Scott and this staff really is set up well to do that.
Greg Sharp, the voice of the Huskers, with us today on the Sports Ticket. And Scott Frost, the number I saw here, offensive coordinator, coach, play caller for 66 career games in college, 3 years at Oregon, 2 years at Central Florida. The offense has averaged 42.3 points a game. As we know with offenses, you go pretty well when you got a guy that can drive the car, and that's at quarterback. What is Scott Frost going to be looking for at quarterback to fit his system at Nebraska?
Well, he wants a dual-threat guy. One of the first calls that staff made was to a young man by the name of Adrian Martinez from Fresno, California, a four-star recruit who's committed to Tennessee, but as we know, Tennessee has gone through a coaching change as well. Adrian was on campus this weekend for a visit. Interesting story with him. He got hurt playing basketball last winter, tore a labrum in his shoulder. He didn't get to play football this fall, so he did not play his senior year of high school football. His shoulder is healed up. It's pretty good now. I think he can throw. He's going to participate in one of the All-Star games in early January. And so Nebraska's made a big play for him. It's going to be down to Nebraska and Tennessee on whether they can pry him loose. But Scott Frost wants a dual-threat quarterback. So then their next question would be, well, what about the guys that are on the roster? That's a great question. I don't know. I think Tristan Jebbia, who redshirted this year for Nebraska, probably could adapt and play in Scott's system. Patrick O'Brien, I think the same thing. I think he moves around well enough. Tanner Lee, I don't know. My feeling all along for the last month with Tanner is that he would go pro after this year and try his hand at the National Football League, and that may be his best avenue to go. But I think the Huskers are going to try to add a quarterback, maybe two, in this class. They've also made a couple of overtures for some junior college quarterbacks. That's going to be interesting is how this thing plays out over the next 3 to 4 months and through spring ball. What will Nebraska do next fall at quarterback? At this moment, I don't know. It's going to have to see who gets signed here in the next week or two or in February, and then have to see how it plays out in spring and fall. But it's going to be a fascinating thing to follow.
What about on the defensive side of the ball? We know all about the black shirt tradition at Nebraska, and certainly there have been many games over the last 15, 20 years where Nebraska's given up a lot of points, a lot of yards. They had problems on defense this year. And at Central Florida, they went 12-0 this year, as we've documented, but they did give up a lot of points. I mean, they gave up 55 to Memphis, that went into overtime in the championship game, 42 South Florida. Now, those teams are good offensively, but what do you know about the defensive strategy or philosophy for Scott Frost and the type of people he's got there on that side of the ball?
They like a 3-4 defense. The defensive coordinator Chenander was with Scott at Northern Iowa, then followed out to Oregon, and so they've been together for quite a while. They made drastic strides on that side of the ball over the last 2 years. With the year they went 0-12, the year before Scott got there, they gave up 37 points a game. This year it was 25, and it really got elevated by the two games you just pointed out. The last two games they gave up quite a few points, but before that, they were only allowing about 18 points per game, which would have put them in the top 20 in the country. They were fourth in the country in turnovers forced. I like that. It's been a long time since we've seen Nebraska's defense force many turnovers, but this defense puts a lot of pressure on people. And also, the way Scott runs his offense puts pressure on the defense. Mm-hmm. Let me explain that. When you run plays as fast as Scott does, and if you didn't see Central Florida play, just remember Chip Kelly's Oregon team. Yep. That's what it is. They line up, they snap the ball 10 or 12 seconds out of the play clock, and so they're getting, I mean, a lot of their scoring drives are less than 2 minutes long because they're just getting it down the field in a hurry. Well, then that means your defense is going to be out there a little bit more, and so your defense will wear down as the season goes along. So you better be able to score. You better be able to put points on the board. But I think that defensive scheme, those coaches think will fit pretty well in the Big Ten Conference, where, you know, the offenses in the Big Ten don't go quite as fast as some of that. So it'll be a fascinating thing to watch. But I think that group showed that they really can make a turnaround at UCF, and I think they'll do some good things in Nebraska's defense as well.
One of the best lines in that press conference to me was when somebody asked him about how he's going to modify his offense coming to the Big Ten. And he countered with, well, I hope they're going to modify what they do against our offense. He's going to make them modify. I thought that was great. I mean, you're going to be the aggressor. You're going to be the proactive person in this relationship when you're on the field. Put the pressure on the other team.
I loved it, too. Now, let me tell you, that got the attention of the Big Ten.
Yes.
You know, you make a comment like that, you better start to back it up a little bit. So, yeah, those are things that are great quotes in a press conference, and it gets the fan base fired up, but it might also fire up your opponents as well. As soon as he said it, I'm like, yeah, and they're like, ooh, boy, that one may not play real well in Iowa City and Madison, Wisconsin. And even I saw some folks, I was down in Atlanta last week at the College Football Awards show put on by ESPN, and ran into some guys from Ohio State, and they're like, yeah, we're just trying to figure out how we're going to keep up with you guys. And, you know, they're kidding away, but. You know, it was a shot he threw out there, and it plays well with the home base, but it probably also fired up the opponents for Nebraska as well.
Yeah, that's an excellent counterpoint, no doubt. What about the spring game? It all sold out. I mean, it's just the excitement around this whole situation is just unbelievable when you bring back a guy who comes back home, won a national championship, and a mentor of Tom Osborne. I mean, I got to imagine all Husker Nation is just flat out giddy and can't wait for the spring game.
I would guess. They usually put those tickets on sale in early February, so they haven't had a chance to get those. But, yeah, the response that we're hearing across the state's pretty remarkable. And you know, when you come through a 4-8 football season in this program and look the way Nebraska did over the last month of the season, this was a huge shot in the arm for Husker fans and really for the entire athletic department. And I can't say enough good things about Bill Moose, the athletic director, who came on in October, sized things up, knew that Scott Frost is who he wanted to go get, and then did everything right to go get it done. It's a great start for him. And now it's up to Scott and his coaching staff to kind of piece this thing back together. But, yeah, it's given a lot of, like a shot of adrenaline to everybody across the state. Everybody's kind of flying pretty high here as we enter the holiday season.
Absolutely. Okay, basketball come up Saturday night. Big game, prime time, 7 o'clock. Nebraska 7-4. They will entertain KU. KU struggling. They've lost two in a row. They've fallen in the polls to number 13. This is KU's first true road game of the year. I had somebody the other day tell me KU's not going to lose three in a row. If you go back, history-wise, Bill Self's only lost, I think they said, three in a row, six times in his career at KU or something like that. And of those times when he's been on the road for that third game, they've lost those two times. So that would bode well for Nebraska in this game since they're at home. What are your thoughts on this matchup Saturday between the Jayhawks and the Huskers?
Well, it's just fun. It's fun to have KU back in Lincoln. It'll be the first time the Jayhawks to visit Pinnacle Bank Arena, as it wasn't open when Nebraska left the Big 12 Conference. And certainly all the props for KU and the respect for them. But I like the way Nebraska's playing right now. Good win last week over Minnesota at home. They were ranked 14th. When the Gophers came to town, the Huskers won by 10. Nebraska dropped their game on Saturday to Creighton, but played very well. I thought they were the better team for a good chunk of the game up in Omaha against the Blue Jays. And Creighton's back in the top 25 after that win on Saturday. And Nebraska got in a little bit of foul trouble in that game, and that'll happen to you on the road a little bit. But I know Pinnacle Bank will be alive and jumping for the game on Saturday night, and looking forward to seeing Kansas. And it's the last big test for Nebraska in the non-con. They'll have three non-conference games left after Kansas, but they're all kind of those UTSA and Delaware State, those types. So this will be the last test for Nebraska before they jump into conference play again after the first of the year. So should be fun. Should be a great week. It's the end of finals week, and so I know the players will be excited to have that kind of behind them and to see Kansas come into the gym. And the way Nebraska's playing, I think Nebraska will feel like they'll have a shot in this game against the Jayhawks on Saturday. So it should be a blast.
And Nebraska volleyball, third straight Final Four, and they get top-seeded Penn State coming up on Thursday in Kansas City at Sprint Center. And I was looking at the schedule and the results that Nebraska beat Penn State earlier this year in straight sets. Once again, Nebraska just keeps doing what they do every year in volleyball, don't they?
It's phenomenal. John Cook is just unbelievable. Three straight Final Fours, that's unheard of in college sports to get back to that level year after year. He's been able to do it. And this was supposed to be a rebuilding year for Husker volleyball. They had four or five key contributors who graduated after last season, and you kind of felt like, oh, it might be a step back for this team. Step back, and here they are in the Final Four again. And you're right, they won the only matchup between these two. They've kind of had their way with Penn State the last couple of years. I think they've won three or four straight against the Nittany Lions, but they're awesome. They're great. The only loss in the year for Penn State was that game to Nebraska back in late September. Should be amazing. I talked to some folks in Kansas City yesterday and said that they can't believe the demand for tickets for this, that it's a it's a sellout, and they're getting $150 through those ticket vendors for lower bowl tickets for Thursday night. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. I know as many Husker fans as you get in the building will probably be down there because none of the other schools that are there are even close proximity-wise to Kansas City. So it'll be an advantage for Nebraska, but it should be some tremendous theater. If people have not watched high caliber of college volleyball, they've got to tune in Thursday night for the Final Four because it'll be fun for you to watch, and it's pretty intense. And this state's Gago. They love their volleyball, and they love John Cook, and why not? The Huskers have won four national titles in this sport since the mid-90s. The Drive for Five is what they've been calling it up here for the last couple of days. It should be a blast. Gets going on Thursday night.
All right, time for an off-the-wall question, Greg. Bill Walton was at Allen Fieldhouse for the first time calling a game, and he's a unique color commentator, to say the least. And here was an exchange that he had with the play-by-play announcer, Roxy Bernstein. Walton said, "Today's Sunday, right?" during the broadcast. Roxy said, "It is." Walton said, "Happy birthday." The announcer, Roxy Bernstein, said, "To who?" Walton said, "To you, Roxy." Roxy said, "It's not my birthday." Walton replied, "One day it will be." I thought that was pretty funny because he didn't know where he was going with it. He also brought up something about, have you been to the Philippines in the middle of the game in the final 5 minutes? He's a unique individual, which leads me to an off-the-wall question. And I guess I'm inspired because I talked to your former colleague, Stan Weber, who's going to be with us tomorrow on the show to talk K-State athletics. And Stan had nothing but great things to say about you. So I'm going to ask you, who is the most unique person that you've ever done a broadcast with?
Wow. That's a great question, and I enjoy Bill Walton. I think I can only take him in small doses.
Yes.
I think it's certainly a unique type of broadcast. And essentially, I saw him twice last week because he did, as you mentioned, he did the Kansas-Arizona State game, and I saw him, I think it was Friday night, he did Oklahoma and USC, and they played a game out in Los Angeles. And so he did that game, and I watched a good chunk of that. So I enjoy it, but again, only in small doses. I had a chance to do a pay-per-view game. It was a Nebraska football game in 2007 with Kellen Winslow. who was a great football player, great tight end from Missouri, had a terrific career with the San Diego Chargers. And I was really looking forward to meeting him, and I got told by the producer during the week, well, you're working with Kellen Winslow. I'm like, oh, that's great, good. I'll tell you, Wade, he showed up. I don't know that he'd read one note about the game. Didn't know anything that was going on. Didn't know players' names.
Oh.
Wasn't prepared at all. It was kind of a letdown. I'm like, oh, I thought this was going to be fun. It was going to be, you know, maybe one of the highlights of my career to work with an NFL Pro Football Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
And then to have that happen. So that was a little bizarre. I've been really blessed because I've worked with guys like Stan and Matt Davison who have that great ability to speak technically to keep the people who love football and can't get enough of it engaged, but also not scare off the grandpa and grandmas who, you know, they're just fans. They kind of want to know what's going on, but they're entertained by guys like Stan and Matt. So I've been blessed to have guys like that in my career for 95% of my broadcast career instead of guys like Kellen Winslow who couldn't even tell you who the head coaches of the teams were where they were playing the game that we were watching.
That makes it a little bit more stressful on the play-by-play guy, doesn't it? You're worried about the broadcast once you realize that. How's this going to go, isn't it?
Absolutely. You're like, okay, I can't go down this path because I can't ask him, you know, what's the strength of this player because he has no clue. And so you have to just be careful where you lead the broadcast. And so it does. You're right. It makes a big challenge. So having guys who are prepared, know what they're doing, and can articulate a point, that makes it pretty simple to just jump in there and put the headset on and go.
Well, Greg, we always appreciate you taking the time to join us on the Sports Ticket. Always enjoy listening to your work on the radio. And look forward to talking Nebraska football next year with Scott Frost in his first year at the helm. Thanks for the time again.
Sounds good, Wade. Appreciate it. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Same to you and your family. That's Greg Sharp, the voice of the Huskers today on the Sports Ticket.